Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Fresh Off the Set. I'm Alora Murray.
And I'm David Osman. It's great to be with you, Alora.
And this, I know this is a topic that you care so much about, David. We've talked about it before. Yeah. I interviewed Camille Cox about influencing, the pros and cons of it, but mostly we talk about how to protect yourself and your kids on social media, whether they're on it, whether they're not. That's totally, you know, a parent's call, what they think is best. But how do you, in this world of social media, that's really what it is. We live in a world of social media. We're constantly bombarded by social media. How do you protect your kids from that? And, you know, those thoughts of like comparing and getting online, like what are you doing?
There's
right
a lot
now?
Of things. This is a hot topic. We've talked about it a lot and it's only going to get worse. There's even bills out there right now for people saying, should we ban social media for kids under 16? And that, I mean, it's hard to get Big Brother involved to tell us what we do, but I think it really comes down to how we parent and how we can lead by example. Cause I think the adults are just as bad. They're going to the addiction of it, the depression, it's sucking away our reality, our lives. And certainly I know Camille with her story, she would know better than anybody the stuff she's gone through. So this is a fascinating topic and anxious to hear more about what she says. But for my family and our kids, we try and keep that innocence, that spark of just the beauty that a child has as long as possible. So my kids actually don't have social media accounts. Mm-hmm. They don't even have smartphones. We use a service by a company called Gab mm-hmm. Wireless.
Yeah, my nephews have their watches.
Oh, yes, yeah, exactly.
When they
when
they first got their watches, I was... Yeah. I had a lot of calls repeatedly over and over.
But,
so if you
looked
at my,
that? Yeah, even that little bit of you open that door and it's just like you run through it. The kids just, they love it. But let them grow up, you know,
Well,
baby
now,
steps.
Half the time they don't know where their Gab watches are. Like I'll call them to tell them happy birthday. And they're like, I don't know where my watch is. So I have to call their mom.
I'll be completely honest. I have quite a few nieces and nephews and I have visibly seen a change in the demeanor of a child within 2 weeks of getting smartphone access, social media. And it's just a natural thing. It changes. You're not looking outward. You're looking downward. And just that alone, and what's going on inside the brand, we've talked a lot of mental health and wellness individuals that say this is like Colin Karshner, the late, great Colin Karshner was a dear friend of mine.
Yes.
And he always said, the moment you put a smartphone in a child's hand, you're handing them a rattlesnake. It's going to bite them. Mm-hmm. So how soon do you want that to happen?
Yeah. And I mean, that's totally up to, like I said, we're not like giving like, do this, do this. Every parent knows their kids best. Every kid is different, but it's something, you know, like getting ready to have my first, it's something he can't even hold a phone, obviously, but it's something that I think about because when he's older, I know that social media is going to be, AI is going to be even bigger. Social media is going to be even bigger. And we had a guest come on the show. It was several months ago who talked about how they did a study and these kids opted to be in the study and they took their cell phones away. And then when they gave them back, I think it was like 90-something% of the kids said they were happier without social media than they were with
it. I believe it.
And that was kids saying that.
Yeah.
That was like actual, you know, teenagers, they're still kids, saying, I'm doing better without this. So it's just that line.
Especially while the brain's developing so fast. And the kids of all ages, all of us need to take notes. Of ourselves and our time we spend. I will say, we're trying our darndest as parents. There was no manual for us. And we're trying so hard not to be the helicopter parents and keep our kids in a bubble. Like, we're trying to be absolutely honest and open about what reality is and what the dangers are out there and let them kind of decide for themselves. Cause whether they have a cell phone or not, their friends are going to have it.
Oh,
so we're just trying to have an open, honest dialogue, but at least until we feel it's the appropriate time to open that Pandora's box, just to take it one small step at a time and let them be little.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I remember when Instagram came out, it was all about, for a while, it was all about the filters and I got really obsessed with how I looked with these filtered photos. Mm-hmm. And that's as an adult. And I mean, my mind was fully developed, but it still affected me. So that's something to think about with these kids. How does it affect you? Imagine how it's affecting your child.
Then there's another layer we got to think about, and I'm sure we'll be talking about it here with Camille, but the cybersecurity side of things, identity theft, especially when you're talking about the innocence of that child and their personality, their faces, their voices. Boy, we are with AI explosive, with NVIDIA. You've seen that in the news lately. This is not slowing down. It's just exponentially going. We're more connected now than ever before, but we're also more disconnected.
Absolutely.
And so let's put those phones down, connect with our children, especially. We only have so much time with them.
Time is a thief. And Camille, honestly, this conversation is really amazing. She has some great insight. What do you say, Tiffany?
Let's go. Let's do it.
Hello, everyone. Laura Murray here, and I get to sit down with Camille Cox. Again, we loved having her last time. We talked about her and her mom's company, Melkit, and now she's back. She is an advocate for personal and mental well-being, and we're talking about influencing today.
Oh my goodness. That is a broad topic in today's world, isn't it?
And I mean, do we say that word anymore? Because it was bloggers, then it was influencers, and now it's content creators.
Isn't it crazy? I mean, it actually just shows you how fast technology is changing and how many platforms we have, like what it used to be, like magazines. And now we have how many social platforms, you know, this is a social platform, right?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's crazy. I remember the days of magazines. I loved them and like folding down pages of outfits I wanted and things. And now it's usually like on one of the social platforms, Instagram, I save it to be like, oh, I like that outfit. And now here we are in the age of content creation.
I know. And you know, see, I liked the simple days. Like I love the ideas of magazines, sitting down and just kind of opening it when you want and turning it off. Because now it's everywhere. You don't get to turn it off. No. Really. You know what I mean? Like even if you're watching the news or YouTube, like anything, it's just in front of your face all the time.
And it's so interesting. Before we get to these questions, I'm wondering what you think about this. We have many a time talked on the show about tips for better mental health, tips for better, mental well-being. And one of the tips that we usually always read is some therapist out there has created this tip and they always say to take a break from screen time.
Isn't that amazing?
It doesn't matter what list it is or who it is, they will always say that. They'll say that or put it on do not disturb or like turn it off an hour before bed, but they all say it.
Isn't that amazing? And why, for you, like what do you think, why do you think that is? I mean, I'm sure you felt it. I know I felt that. Like I feel better when I turn it off.
I absolutely have to because I mean, obviously in the job that I'm in, it's very, public facing and I have to sometimes take a break from looking at other people's highlight reels.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Because
that's what it is.
I have to take a break from looking at other people's highlight reels because even though, like, I'm confident in myself, I'm here, it affects how I feel about myself.
Yeah.
And I want to think that I'm more mature than that, mm-hmm. but it does.
Totally. No, it totally, I mean, to see that constantly, and even if some people do the opposite, where they're always talking about how hard this stuff, it's just seeing other people's lives or having that much information mm-hmm. is so saturating in not a good way. Like, I don't think our brains and souls are meant to handle that mm-hmm. much information, to know what your cousin and brother and aunt and uncle are all doing for Easter and all the fabulous things that they're eating and like all the gifts that they bought. Like, I think your brain is just not like wired to know what to do with that. Like, am I supposed to compare myself to that? Should I be better? Do I like that? Do I appreciate that? Like, I really don't think we're wired for all this information mm-hmm. all the time. And same with just the news. Like, my phone will constantly blow up with new notifications of the news. And what am I supposed to do with this devastating news? Like, sometimes it's kind of sickening that like there'll be such an awful news headline mm-hmm. and that I can just push it up to like dismiss it because I don't want to see it on my phone anymore. Yeah. You know, like it's crazy. And then like back in the day, we used to have celebrities like Marilyn Monroe, Audrey Hepburn, right? Mm-hmm. And they were just everywhere and it was just them. And I always think it's fascinating. Andy Warhol in the 70s, 60s, he had a quote that said, "I predict everyone in the future will have like 15 minutes of fame." And that just blows my mind how he could have thought that.
Yeah.
That like, because that's where we are, right? Like everybody has their platform and everyone has this kind of like the Marilyn Monroe where they're subjecting themselves to other people's opinions and thoughts.
Yeah.
And is that healthy for us? Like we know, you just said that. Like it's not.
Yeah.
You know, like the therapists are saying we do better when we turn it off for a little while.
Yeah. And I mean, it is for, it's all about honestly the balance, because I mean, sometimes I'm grateful for social media because I can see what my friends in England are doing, totally. Which I wouldn't have had the opportunity before. And I mean, you have dabbled into the influencer world, and now you just have this, you're building this, you know, skincare empire. What was it like when you first started out being an influencer?
I mean, so I think at first, because I definitely don't call myself an influencer today. That's just not something I relate with, you know? But like, I think in the beginning, like I started off that way. And for me personally, I learned very quickly that that was not for me. Mm-hmm. I just wasn't in a place where I can willingly share so many of the personal things. My kids are my pride and joy. Mm-hmm. And like broadcasting them out there like that made me not feel very comfortable. Now, that being said, like, that's not to shame any influencer or anybody that does, because I do, the pro of social media is that it gives you a platform to put out so much light and positivity and share inspiring stories. I am constantly inspired by a lot of things I see on social media, mm-hmm. or wonderful quotes, or maybe, you know, people's paths and journeys that reach them to someplace. So there is definitely an ebb and flow here. So that just shows that it needs to have a balance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And just like with anything, like there's good and there's bad. How can we monitor and put like a boundary around this? Absolutely. I feel like.
Well, and speaking of that, you and I have talked about this, you know, at length. After your last podcast, we had a little chat, you know, off the mics talking about kids. What is it like raising kids in a world of social media? Because not only do you have, you know, your 6 gorgeous kids, but you have a lot of nieces and nephews who are a little older that they were raised in this world of social media. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, like teaching, you know, dance or teaching church lessons, I know that kids that teenage age, that is their world.
It's their world. It's that part is really scary to me. Because me and you didn't, I think MySpace came out when I was senior, like 17, 18. And that was kind of odd. And that doesn't even touch what we deal with today. Yeah. So my heart empathizes big time for the mm-hmm. youth that are dealing with this. I work with a lot of youth in my neighborhood and in my community, young men and young women. And, you know, it breaks my heart a lot of times when they're being vulnerable. They'll be like, I just feel like I'm not good enough. Like mm-hmm. this constant comparing themselves. And so the con of social media and the youth is I think we're sending out the wrong message. And so with my kids, the way we talk about it is, I love the quote, don't look around you, look up. Mm-hmm. Because what social media is kind of showing or teaching, and I think as you get older, we kind of learn better of our boundaries and what the purpose is. Mm-hmm. But for these kids, I feel like we're teaching like, hey, do something that everyone else is going to like, that everyone else will heart. I love Wreck-It Ralph Breaks the Internet. I just watched that again recently, and I was like, wow, there is a lot to unpack there. Because that's really like, he was so excited, like he became famous, right? Yeah. Wreck-It Ralph. He's like, cool, like everybody thinks I'm so funny. And then all of a sudden he reads all the comments and then sees as many great comments as you get the people who are hiding behind their keyboard just looking for a reaction, looking to bring someone down with them, right? Because uh-huh. Hurt people hurt people. Misery loves company. And so that's where the pendulum swings, right? Yeah. And so then he just breaks down. Like, he just is like, who am I? Like, if people don't like me and don't like everything about me. So yeah. To me, that's the scary part. And what I am so big on with my kids is I believe when I found the most happiness and found out who I was and kind of my mission or who I wanted to be is when I started not caring what anyone thinks. Like, mm-hmm. no validation from anyone but me and God. Like, mm-hmm. not even my husband. At this point, because anything can be taken away in an instant, right? Like, all of us are living on, like, your life can be taken away in an instant, your job, your body, whatever, your health, kids. And so what are we left with? And that's where I think if you just depend on what you think and what God thinks, you're going to be led in a positive direction. And I don't want my kids to do something because other people will like it or not, because as soon as someone will like it, they'll drop you the next second. You know what I mean? So that's what scares me the most, is I don't want to raise my kids to be worried about what other people think. And that's what social media does. That's actually why I'm a horrible influencer, because
I think you're great.
I'm a horrible influencer because I'm like, I just like what I like. And I wish I would just turn off the comments always. Cause I'm like, I want to post this just because I want to post it, not because I'm looking for other people to like it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's it's complicated.
It is.
It's so complicated.
It's, I read a quote a little bit ago, and it said, if you are seeking for validation from other people, you will be seeking your whole life.
Exactly.
And I read that and I was like, oh my gosh, that's so true. And it's even more interesting because I have been to, oh man, I've heard so many influencers talk, just speak on different things. And every single one of them, the first thing they'll say is that if you want to be successful, if you try to get what other people, if you try to do what you think other people want you to do, you'll get burnt out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll either get burnt out or you will have a miserable time.
Yeah.
But so it's one of those things where it's like figuring out that line. Like if that is your dream, if your dream is to be an influencer, it's figuring out that line of how am I not going to let this bother me? And yeah, that's hard.
It's so hard. Like I said, I mean, we were just talking about that story from Julia Roberts. Mm-hmm. Julia Roberts is an incredible actress. She posted a photo of her and her niece, Emma Roberts. They had like a beautiful night playing games. They woke up and had coffee. And she just said like, it was a beautiful morning. She posted it on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And then her niece, Emma Roberts, like reposted it. And then all of a sudden all these comments came. And in the comments, they were like talking about Julia Roberts saying like, she looks like a man. She's not aging well and just horrible mm-hmm. things. And as she's saying, it's so, so good. I'll see if I can find the link if anybody wants to see it or listen to it. But she goes, as I'm watching this play out in the comments, I'm also seeing people fight about me. Yeah. And then I'm like looking psychologically at what's happening to me as I'm experiencing this. And she's like, it was not good. And she's like, I'm 50 years old and I know who I am. Like, I feel really good about myself. And to see the like psychological warfare this had on me, she's like, it really made me worried, especially for our youth. Yeah. And that's the thing. I'm like, think of she's Julia Roberts. She's been out in the public eye forever. She's probably already heard negative things in headlines and newspapers. And so for her to like go through this experience on social media and find it jarring, I think says a lot.
Yeah.
I remember,
when we were growing up, do you remember MSN Messenger?
Yeah. That was lit. Slaps.
MSN Messenger. I remember being, 15 to 17, because like you said, when we got into college is when Facebook kind of came about. But up until then, I remember MSN Messenger, and I remember the effects it had on me back then. Because if someone I had, like if a boy I had a crush on popped onto MSN Messenger and didn't talk to me, or I found out that there was like a group chat that I wasn't a part of, like it wrecked me.
Oh my gosh.
And now I think about these poor kids who it's like they can get on Instagram or Facebook and see every party they didn't go to.
Totally.
People who unfriended them, people and that just kind of, it is our world now. It's not going to go away.
It's not going to go away. It's here. Yep.
So what advice would you give to either, maybe someone our age who is like, you know what, I'm hearing you. I still really want to be an influencer, or a child who is like, I'm still on social media. What should I do?
Yeah, totally. And I think, and you should answer that question too, as well. So I'd love to hear your response. But for me, because it obviously is here, I still have social media. It's not like it's nowhere apart. It's definitely a part of my brand. I have to put myself out there and all those things. So for me to be able to do that, like the things I've learned is, A, I'm not going to care what anyone thinks. I'm going to put this out here. Am I doing it with positivity? Am I doing it with light? Am I bringing anyone else down? Am I trying to do it to make anyone else feel bad? Like ask all those questions before you post, and you still may have like negative thing, but at least you're trying to inspire other people. Mm-hmm. And I think just having that knowledge of like, I know who I am. Social media doesn't define me. Other people's opinions don't define me. Just because someone says I'm ugly or not smart, you have to, I feel like it's almost like it should be a requirement, like a prerequisite, like before you get on, like I need to, do I know who I am? Do I know that other people, what they say doesn't change what I know, who I am, because that's the other thing, like people's opinions, I think for a long time I used to think, oh, if people have this opinion of me, then that must be true. And that's just couldn't be more wrong, right? Like we're all entitled to our opinions, but we're all seeing it from our own lens. So like I may be conditioned for whatever reason to like long hair better for some reason, you know? And so if anybody with short hair, but that's ridiculous, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what I mean. It's like we all have this experience and these lens that we have our opinions for whatever reason, but that is no way a universal truth or text. And I think just knowing that, like I am who I am. I'm so proud of who I am. I feel comfortable in my skin and nobody's going to take that away from me. But I mean, so not only for social media, I mean, I think that should be all of our, that's our life goal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how many people do you know that really feel that way? Like, Well, feel none really of, good about
none
their
have
skin.
Really said that to me.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's hard. Like, we just, it's learning to love who you are. And I think that happens with self-growth and self-development is as you continue to work and heal and find your purpose, and this self-love is the most important. And I don't know if this is kind of sidetracked, but, like, I love the quotes of, like, the most important job you'll do and the most effect you'll have on anyone is the work you do in your home, you know? So it's like learning to love who I am first and foremost. Then I can teach my kids to love who they are. And then if they want to go out and be on social media and share their light and their stories, I hope that we have created a great foundation where they are going to spread positivity because they know who they are. And you know, you can, so funny, because you can tell the difference with the influencers who know who they are and the ones who don't. And usually the ones who ever even bring up the bad comments or the trolls, you know, they probably struggle a little bit with insecurity. The ones who I know who never, and I know stuff is being said, like there's one girl who has like over 8 million followers, and there's Reddits and TikToks about all sorts of conspiracy about her. And I don't ever hear her address that. And I love that about her. Like, she's giving no
so
noise to that, you know?
Interesting, but that you say that, because I feel like I know a lot of people on social media who will get a negative comment and take that negative comment, and then the only word that's coming to my mind is blast them.
Yeah.
And like I said, everyone's platform is their own. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. But I have seen that, and I've had negative comments. Like, I did a post, oh, it was a while ago when I was just pregnant and my baby bump just started coming out, and I was hearing all sorts of things. And so I came home and I was upset about it because, I mean, with pregnancy, you're hormonal anyway and your body's changing. And my sweet mom was like, well, you look beautiful today. Let's just take some pictures. And so we posted them and I was like, this is me. And then I had someone in the comment section tell me I was the size of a land submarine.
Oh, my goodness. Please. And have you guys seen Alora? She looks amazing. Like, she's like, so darling. That's insane.
And I was like, and I looked at it and I like thought for a moment. I was like, should I say something back? Like, are you really like body shaming me on a post about letting people be themselves?
Yeah.
And like, it does, every body is beautiful. Are you really doing this? And then I was like, no. Because you know what? I feel good about these pictures. That's adding fuel to the fire. I'm just,
let them be. Yeah. No, totally. Because anybody who is in the right mind, who is someone that we probably respect and, you know, admire, would look at that and know exactly what's happening. Yeah. Like, that person obviously needs attention. Hurt people hurt people. Yeah. You know, misery loves company. They're looking for a reaction from you. So it's just like, just let it be. Like, that's not true. That's clearly untrue. Yeah. And I think that's a perfect example of like the cons, the trolls, that you have to have this mental, emotional, like spiritual navigation with, to be like, what do I do with this? Mm-hmm. And maybe it comes after a lot of practice. I feel like the way I was raised, and probably because I had a lot of brothers, like I just have a thick skin. And maybe too, just my experiences throughout high school, you know, like I've already heard all the worst things you could say to someone.
Well, and dance, competitive dance gives everyone a thick skin, does it not?
It's true. And so I think I've learned, it's like, okay, I think I've heard every awful thing that could ever that's already been said to me, and I know it's not true, and I'm good.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's kind of part of the evolution of it, and maybe that's what we can learn and teach to our kids, is be like, thinking of all the worst things that could ever be said to you, but do you know who you are? Mm-hmm. You're none of what people say about you. Yeah. You know, and sometimes that can be lonely. That's why I think sometimes social media, like people who have a lot of followers, they'll say, like, it's kind of lonely, you know, it's kind of isolating. Like, how many people know what it's like to like put my life in front of, you know, millions of people and have them judge and criticize everything I do. But maybe through that, they have really learned their self-worth, you know, so that's maybe another part.
Cause I was going to ask you about that. Cause I know you have, I mean, with the business you have, Milk It, you obviously have to work with a lot of influencers.
Yeah.
And you do. And I know, you know, several influencers who have like into the millions of followers.
Yeah.
And do you guys ever talk about this? Do they ever have anything that they say about, you know, trolls or finding themselves, or any of the influencers that you are like, oh, they really,
yeah,
they see this the same way I do?
I mean, I think a lot of like friends, loved ones who have that type of following or have that type of spotlight. A lot of them have battled through that and then are at a comfortable place where they're like, you know what? I'm here to bring light and love and inspiration. And so that's what I'm here. And everyone else can just, you know, I can do whatever. Like, that's just, and I think maybe now we're all at a point too where we just know that that's part of it. And so it's maybe a little easier to ignore. But the ones I know, I just love that they embrace it and that they're just like, I'm great. Like, look at me, you know? And like, I'm here to share things. I'm going to, like, I really admire that they're able to do that. Like, for me and my kids, like, it just gives me anxiety. I just can't. Maybe that's just my way of knowing, like, that's not for me. I could never just post my personal life always.
And everyone's different. And some people are.
Totally. But then I get so much inspiration from seeing other people and their kids. You know what I mean? So I think it's definitely to each their own. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like your own little compass of what you feel like you can handle. And I think always listen. Like, if you are having anxiety about a post or something, then don't. Don't put yourself out there and do whatever. But like, if it feels inspirational and strong, like anything I post, I always try to make it inspirational or something of value that will bring to someone's day. And I think that's part of it too, you know? Yeah.
Well, and then, you know, speaking of kids, like I said, some people, and like, we have mommy bloggers and then we have home bloggers, and everyone's different. Everyone is, you know, has their own thing. Illinois actually passed a law that ensures child social media influencers are compensated for their work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally.
So if there is a mommy blogger in Illinois and she's using, she's having her kids like push a product or something, the kids are being compensated for their work. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I think it's right. I think we need to give, at this point, from what we know with all these horrible cases with that going on with kids, I think that, especially because sometimes, you know, parents, it's all relative, right? Like, some parents are great and really concerned for their kids and are taking really good care of their kids. And there's some that maybe aren't such great parents. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I think that they should be compensated, especially some of those kids are making so much money. But, you know, that also kind of bleeds into the whole athletic side. You know, how, like, now, before, my husband played in college, and they put him on, gosh, what was it, like an NCAA football game. It's Madden. I'm having the hardest time right now thinking what it is.
Oh, like a video game?
Like the video game. They put his likeliness on there.
I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. And so at first it was like, that's kind of when this all started happening, because he didn't get paid for that. It's like, oh, his likeliness is out there. That's crazy. And then
so
now,
you could pick like Christian.
You could
pick
Christian Cox. Yeah, like to be there.
That's so fun.
So crazy. But then a couple years later, there was some lawsuit, and, you know, he got a check and the money you got to check in the mail for it. And so now there are different laws. Like, you will get paid if you are used to promote and all that. Like, you know, the University of Utah, they all just got trucks, you know? So it's scary because it kind of gives them this platform that they're playing with. And I think we may see like much more divas because they were like, hey, I can go, I can bounce. Like, everybody, you know, this is promotional. Like, the people want me, this, I'm bringing money in. Yeah. But at the same time, it is what it is. How much money does college football, you know, bring in? And the kids weren't seeing a dime of it. So I mean, I obviously think there's a balance there. It's the same thing with social media, but it does seem like it seems appropriate. What do you think?
I mean, honestly, for me, I've always thought man, these kids are helping their parents bring in a lot of money.
Yeah,
and there's different kind. I mean, I think there's a reason Instagram makes you say if something is a collaborative post, because you need people to know. Yeah. And if your kids are helping you through that, I feel like they should be seen.
Yeah.
That's my thing. And totally. Like I said, I have kind of anxiety about showing my baby on Instagram. And I think that's just like a protective, like a mama bear thing. He's my first.
Oh, for sure.
I'm a protective mama bear. And I know, like we talked about, I know the negative sides. And I don't want people saying that about my baby who can, you know, can't even walk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and I mean, to be honest about that side, when we have the AI craziness, I've heard many, I think my main thing is I have heard many people talk about pedophiles and what they can do with different images and things like that. That is very real. That is definitely out there. And I do feel like that is something that everybody should take into consideration, because that's a big deal. Because, you know, before we had the Taylor Swifts and like Kendall Jenners, where you had these stalkers showing up to their house. Mm-hmm. But when you're putting your life out there, you know, this is kind of the other scary part that I think people just have to weigh, but it's very easy to find where you live. And then, so if they are seeing this constant interaction with a kid, it's not hard to find out where they go to school. Although, so that's a very real, very scary side of social media. And so that is like, when you're deciding what you want to do, what's bringing you peace and not peace? Like, what are your boundaries? Mm-hmm. And I think just being very clear of what those are. And I really appreciate the certain influencers who've been out there who've stated what their boundaries are in that sense. But like I said, being said, like, I have seen so many wonderful influencers who post so much about their kids, and it's all so inspiring. Maybe it's just for the greater good, you know, like I said, for me and personally, that some of that stuff really freaks me out.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, for me, like I said, being a first time mom, some of those, Instagram accounts and TikTok accounts and blogs where they're like, this is what happened with me and my kid, this is what I did, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you posted that.
Yeah, right?
Because that helps me so much.
Totally.
But with all of that, how do you personally think we can protect our kids?
I mean, so then that's hard, because I'm like, then I'm going totally the opposite way. Like, keep them off. Keep them off for good. You know, but that is hard, because it's like, okay, this isn't going anywhere. Yeah. So maybe... And then everybody at your school probably has it. I've seen some parents keep their kid off of it until they're 18. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. At first, the kid was kicking and screaming, like, I can't believe you're doing this. You're the worst, you know. Mm-hmm. And then by the time they were 18 and got it, they're like, I'm so glad that you didn't give that to me. Because I see how obsessed everyone else was with it. I see, like, the time it takes away. And so, man, like, it's insane. Like, look how many positives there can be about it, and like making money and sharing inspirational stories and mm-hmm. helping people. And then look, there's a bunch of like these scary sides. And, mm-hmm. and I love Brooke Romney. I love her stuff. Like, she does the like teenage manners and like kind of etiquette. And one of my favorite pages for her was, if you're in a room with people, put away your phone. Like, it really is so truly rude to even be watching a movie with someone else and then be scrolling on your phone. And I've learned, like, with my kids and with my husband, I'm like, it's true. Like, if we're all, even though we're all together, technically watching a movie, my kids don't have phones. Yeah. And me and my husband are, I'm like, it just feels like disrespectful. Like, it feels like we're so in a different place. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to be like that. I want to be present. I want to like appreciate where they're at. I don't want to be staring at a phone all the time. And so it's just finding that balance. And even, it's not even just social media for me. It's my phone, because I can do everything on my phone. I can Instacart, you know, I do so much of my work on there.
Yeah.
I'm like, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I gotta get this for whatever, I'm getting it from Amazon. Mm-hmm. So it's like this constant to-do list. Like, I could be on my phone all day actually being productive. Mm-hmm. And I've learned I have to take hours at a time and like just put it in a whole room, turn on do not disturb. Otherwise, I feel like I've lost like special present moments and opportunities to be with my kids. So it's not just social media. It's just kind of our new world. Yeah. And so I think we have to set the example for our kids of mm-hmm. how to teach them to be present. I mean, how does it feel when you're with someone and then they're on their phone the whole time at dinner?
I was thinking exactly when you were talking about this. I have literally had conversations like I'm having with you. Like, I'm looking at you like in the eye.
In the eyes.
I have had conversations with people where they are looking at their phone while I'm talking to them.
And isn't that sad? That's like a norm now. It's not even a big deal,
and
you know?
I'm like, do I repeat myself? Do I like, mm-hmm. what do I do with this? And like, I've taught, like I said, I've taught church lessons and I've taught kids dance. And sometimes when I'm teaching, if they have their phones, I'm like, hello? Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the biggest harms of social media is it pulls us away from the present.
Oh, for sure.
It pulls us away from the present, and it can, when you're looking at someone and you're comparing someone, yourself to someone, you're worrying about the future. Like, oh my gosh, I need to be like that tomorrow, or I need to be like that later. And the present is just being pulled out of our hands.
Yeah. Totally. And then you're comparing. And that goes back to what my youth, like in my neighborhood, when I hear these like anonymous, we had like this message where people were writing in anonymous things and they were all like, I just don't feel like I'm good enough. Like, I don't mm-hmm. feel like I'm pretty enough. I don't feel like I'm doing enough. I don't feel like I have the opportunities I want. And it broke my heart. And that's sometimes when I hear stuff like that, I'm like, no, like there, you should not be allowed to be on social media, you know, like, because that's so intense. And like I said, that comes with zero shame or judgment for anyone who's giving their kids social media, but it's just like breaks my heart when I hear these kids in that moment.
All kids are different. All kids have a different their capacity and their emotional strength is completely different.
It's totally. Well, and if they can't see, like, so all those influencers we're talking about, like, I have so many loved ones who are making great money and are spreading positivity. I know that they have their stuff though. I'm able to look at their highlight reel and be like, oh, I know they're dealing with all these things that we don't mm-hmm. see on Instagram. So I think that's like kind of with them. That's what I'm like, everybody has their stuff. Nobody's living in this like perfect world. That's just mm-hmm. not what this mortal journey is about. Yeah. You know, like, we're all going through challenges and trials. We all have our stuff. So if you're ever looking at someone like and thinking, oh, they're so much better than me or smarter, it's just like, no, like, don't talk. That's such awful talk, because we know everybody has that stuff. So it is, it's teaching those, especially those teenagers or those youth, to be like, you can be on here if you can realize that everybody has their stuff. And if you want to, like, you know, just spread light and know when your boundaries are, then yeah. And then I think I've seen some parents master it with their kids really well, of just having really good screen time restrictions, mm-hmm. Where they're very involved in mm-hmm. the social media, where they will go read messages, things like that. And I know mm-hmm. there's also like the deleting and all that. But I think as a parent, we have no choice but to be super involved, going through phones, going through texts, because I have lots of friends who have older kids and they're dating stuff, and the stories and the things I'm hearing, it's vital to see these different types of conversations. And like the stuff that goes out, I think I saw one thing that some young girl and some guy were sending pictures to each other. And what ended up happening, she was 14, is somehow, I don't know if it was the parents found the photo, but she actually is the one who got in trouble for distributing like child pornography.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? So it's like, now are we teaching this type of information to our kids? Do we know what type of repercussions come with that? Because now phones are part of like a dating, right? Like there's mm-hmm. pictures. Like I know most of the kids I talk to, they're like, oh, we just talk on Snap. So they just send photos back to each other. Texting each other apparently is very intimate. They told me, they're like, oh, if I'm texting her, we're like dating.
Oh,
so I was
the opposite. Well, see, that freaks me out because, yeah. And like I said, like everyone, parents, everyone's different. Kids' emotional boundaries are different, but snaps freak me out because that is another thing that isn't in the present, because that disappears.
That disappears. Quickly. And then people screenshot, and that's what they did with this situation. And then she was charged with that. And I'm sure, I don't know if it was probably consensual. They're young, just dumb kids. They don't realize sometimes what this can do. So that's why it is. It's like you have to be so involved. I think I've learned with my kids to be super open. Like we have to talk about everything because it's all out there now. Like, do you know that if you're going to send this or write this, that this can be screenshotted, that this is be taken to law enforcement at some point? This. So again, it is. It comes to that social media, those boundaries with your kids of being very thorough, very communicative, and going through phones. I mean, not only do you have the emotional, mental well-being that you need to discuss with them, you need to talk about like all the consequences that come from all different crazy things. So, and then, I mean, I've heard, we've heard the stories of people meeting on group chats and that being horrible, or, yeah. you know, pedophiles or coaxing them. And,
it makes me.
So that's what I mean. So I think it's just everything we've covered pretty much today. I think it's really good to just be aware and then hopefully talk to your kids continually, always about it. And then when, you know, you have the opportunity, and then make the choice that's right for you. I am grateful that I did not have the social media growing up. That would have been rough. Like I remember getting someone from the other high school wrote me a letter that was so rude. They had to put a postage note and said sent to my house. And I read it once. It was like a horrible letter of the worst things you could read. And then I flushed it down the toilet, which I'm like, wow, I was really had some like emotion. Like I was kind of mature to know, like I did not need to read this again and not need to like sit in this. But like I was telling, I think my niece, that I was like, that's what people had to do. But now people can send you with no effort at all. You know, like they just can send you exactly what they think about you and put you down like that. That's scary. And so it's such a different world. And we can't put our head in the sand. You know, you have to know all this.
Well, yeah, it's like we said, it's there. It's not going away. And there are so many pros to it, but it's not, you know, you can't turn your head. You can't turn your head to the cons because they are there. They're clearly there. And it's hard. If you go up to a kid or even an adult and you're like, hey, look, you can have this job where people like know who you are. You're posting what you want to post. You're making money through it.
There's people who don't get jobs, because of certain things they post on social media, thinking it's private. All of it's out there now. Yeah. Like, if you're looking for a job, they're looking at your resume. They're looking at your social media.
Oh, absolutely.
For sure.
I absolutely know that. I was talking to my husband about that, because nothing is. If you think your account is private, it's really not.
Yep, exactly.
And you have to be like, am I okay? And kids have to understand this. Am I okay with what I'm posting for every single person to see?
See. Yeah, it's crazy because like there's certain things that I think would be funny for certain people, and there's certain things I'm like, oh, I'd be embarrassed if this person were to see this because that's not who I want them to think who I am. And it's like, whoa, what's happening? Because it's like, I know who I am. I know what type of thing I want to put. I need to stay consistent with that. And so sometimes it's a really good reality, like check in with myself to see that. But man, it's such a crazy world. And you know, honestly, with the way like 200 years ago with the technology we had then to now, what 10 years is done? Like, what are the next 5 years?
Oh, it is wild to me because I remember, and I'm going to be that person. I remember when I was seeing TikTok ads.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, this is just silly.
This is insane. Yeah. This is just
because ridiculous. It was like these two kids were mouthing to Beauty and the Beast, and it was like a stitch that they put together. And I was like, oh, there's no way this is going to take off. There's no way. And that was like,
that's insane.
Because people think that it came out in 2020. It didn't. It just got really popular then because everyone was home alone and they were like, I think I'm going to be TikTok famous. And I think that was like in 2019, 2018.
And people are making tons of money.
Yeah.
I mean, from TikTok. TikTok's crazy. Like these kids are, and you know, I think TikTok is more the younger era. Mm-hmm. Instagram's more ours, like the millennial.
Uh-huh.
What are the younger kids called now?
Gen Alpha.
Oh,
and Gen Z.
But they are TikTokers. Like that one's
it's
more
mostly
savvy
Gen
to
Z.
Them. And
yeah.
Instagram's kind of more our age. So it is kind of funny. And then apparently Snap, like that's how people are talking to each other in high school.
I mean,
just through images.
I remember downloading Snapchat specifically because, and I wouldn't even take pictures. Well, I would take pictures and then I'd save it to my camera roll. I wouldn't post it. My nephews liked looking like dogs.
Yeah.
Because you could put the dog filter on.
It was like the OG.
Yeah. Or you could like throw up the rainbow.
Yeah. That was so fun.
And they loved it. And I would just keep it for myself.
Yeah.
And that's why I did it. And now it's being used for other things. So I guess like, you know, to wrap this whole thing up, we've been talking about this. If there, you know, there are people listening, and we talked about this a little earlier, there are people listening, their kids are listening, and they're like, you know what? I'm hearing what you say. I still really want to be an influencer. What is the one piece of positive advice you would give me to do that?
Know who you are. Know who you are and doubt nothing. That's how I'm able to stay on there, is I know who I am. And I know the message and the things that I want to get across. And nothing's going to like hurt me or bring me down from that because I know who I am. So that for sure, for anybody who wants to build for whatever reason, I do it because I want to build my company, my skincare company. Mm-hmm. That's my main motivating factor. I also want to, I love getting the messages when they're like, hey, thanks for sharing this. Like you post this at times of need. Like you just seem to always, you know, you get these incredible messages. Like you always just seem to say what I need to hear. Mm-hmm. And so I think if you know who you are, you can handle it and you can handle anything. I mean, I'm talking about from our age appropriate, obviously.
Yeah.
If you have younger kids, I think you should be very involved and have those conversations. But being, how old are we? I'm like 35. but being my age,
we're a
I
month
would say
apart.
If social media gives you any type of anxiety, take away from it, learn who you are, learn what social media is going to be for you, what your purpose is, and unfollow anybody who brings you anxiety or who brings you down or who doesn't like make your day. And then go in there knowing like, here I am. This is who I am. And I'm going to spread positivity and love and help whoever I can. And you'll feel good. You're going to go through all those waves with it for sure.
I love it. Well, Camille, it has been such a joy talking to you again. Other topic to have you come.
Oh, it's
in.
So we'll fun. I love this. It's just like hanging out. It's so fun.
Thanks so much, Camille. And thank you everyone who listened. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe. And we will catch you next time.
Congrats, you made it to the end. If you want to continue to freshen up your day, you can watch us on Fresh Living every weekday on CBS Channel 2 in Utah at 1 o'clock. You can also watch us on our YouTube channel, KUTV Fresh Living, and follow us on social media. We will see you next week.